It is time for another bonus episode of Pink is the New Podcast by me, Trent Venegas. So, if you listened to this week's podcast, or last week's podcast, you know that I have recently been able to visit, not once, but twice, the new Star Wars land that is now open inside Disneyland here in California. So, for a little context, for those of you who may not know, Disneyland here in California and Disney World in Florida are expanding their theme parks to include an entire land or area of their parks that are completely devoted to Star Wars. So in recent years, after Disney acquired the Star Wars films and Lucasfilms and all of those movies, they have started to expand the presence of those properties and the characters from those properties and those films in their parks. So in recent years, Tomorrowland here in Disneyland has included new Star Wars characters and events leading up to the launch this year, very recently, of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is basically called Star Wars Land, here in the Disneyland theme park. So, starting on May 31st, when the land here opened in California, reservations were taken by Disneyland, where people who signed up on the appointed day were able to reserve four-hour blocks where they could visit the new land and the attractions inside with up to five guests in a controlled and less chaotic way in order to maximize the visitors' time inside the land. So, before this reservation system was announced, it was widely believed that, you know, the lines would be like 8 hours, 10 hours long just to get in. And the fear was that people would have to pay the very expensive theme park admission price and then spend most, if not all, of the day waiting in line just to get in to do, to see this land and to ride the attractions and see all the stuff in the land, which sounded like a terrible idea. Even if you were an annual pass holder, and annual pass holders are people who pay for passes that let them go to the park for most of the year or the entire year. And depending on what pass you get, it's more expensive. But essentially, if you have the most expensive pass, I think it's something like $1,200 a year, and you get to go to Disneyland as much as you want every single day of the year, plus free parking, and at $25 a pop, that's considerable, and then discounts on food and merchandise. So it's expensive, but it's worth it if you live in the area and you go to Disneyland, you know, more than 10 times a year. Like, for sure, you get the better end of the deal if you go to Disneyland a lot. I have the second highest pass, which is just over $1,000. And I get to go all year except for the week between Christmas and New Year's. That week is blocked off. But for the rest of the 51 months of the year, I can go to Disneyland as much as I want. Both Disneyland and California Adventure. So both theme parks as much as I want, whenever I want, except for that 1 week. Plus I get free parking, $25 a pop. And I get discounts on food and discounts on some on merchandise if I use my card. So anyways, so even if you have an annual pass, the fear was that you would have to wait in line for hours and hours and hours just to get in. And Disney came up with the genius idea, in my opinion, to have a reservation system where on the appointed day, you logged in to the website, you picked the day and the time frame you wanted to go, and you could be rest assured in the fact that you would get to go into the land and do everything you want to do in there. So, my first visit to the land was not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and I made a reservation, and I brought my friends, Elena and her fiancé, Edgar, and so that was my first visit to Galaxy's Edge. My time frame was 2 to 6, so Elena, Edgar, and I met at Disneyland, and the first thing that you do when you get to Disney is you head into Tomorrowland, and you go into Star Wars Launch Bay to sign in. They check your barcode, they scan your barcode, and they give you a bracelet, a colored bracelet, that for your appointed time to go into the park. So you and your party get the same bracelet. When you make the reservation, they tell you, you can't change anyone's name once you put it in. You can't change the guests that you want to bring. And my experience is that's not entirely true. So I reserved 3 people, actually. And so Edgar, Elena, and my friend Griffin, but Griffin couldn't go. So I only brought Elena and Edgar. But had I brought someone other than Griffin, I believe that I could have gotten all 3 in, because when you check in, and this has been my experience, so I'm not sure if this is across the board, or I'm not sure if it was just this employee who checked me in, but when you check in, they scan your barcode, they look at your ID, kind of, like they really didn't, you know, inspect it that thoroughly, like was the spelling the same or whatever. They didn't really do that. And then they were just like, oh, you have 3 guests. Here are bracelets for 3 people. So they didn't look at anyone else's IDs. So, you know, I brought Elaine and Edgar and they got their bracelets. But had I brought another person, I believe that that person would have gotten their bracelet as well, even though I said I was bringing Griffin and Griffin didn't come. So that's an aside. And it might be a fluke, but what I'm saying is when you check in, they really only check the main guest's name and then the number of people that are signed up, and then they give bracelets to you and those people. So that's what happens. So you get your bracelet. They scan you in. No, you get your bracelet. Then when you leave the launch bay, you have to get scanned again to activate the bracelet. If you don't get scanned on your way out, your bracelet will not work, and when you try to get into the land, they won't let you in. You have to go back and get it activated. So make sure you get your bracelet scanned before you leave the launch bay when you get your reservation. So we were there a couple hours early, so the 3 of us rode some rides. We saw the Toy Story preview thing, which was really cool. But eventually, when our time was, when it was time to go into the land, we made our way over to the entrance, and we found that there were lots of people already there waiting to get in. Now, because it was my first time, I wasn't really aware of what that meant. So, in my opinion, I was like, all right, we're going to, you know, we'll get in when we get in. So there were like hundreds of people in line in front of us. Not really a line, it was kind of like a mob, but it was a controlled mob. It wasn't like people like running all over each other, but it was like a wide path that was packed with people. So at the entrance area, you get scanned again, and then once you're scanned again, you walk in with the mob to the front part where the land actually starts. And then at the appointed time, they do a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then they welcome you to Galaxy's Edge. So the mass of people walks in, and a little bit of story here. So the land is called Galaxy's Edge, and the planet you are visiting is called Batuu. And the part of the planet that you were hanging out at in is the Black Spire Outpost, okay? So the theme park area, the land is called Galaxy's Edge. The planet you're on is called Batuu, and the place on Batuu that you are visiting is the Black Spire Outpost. And at the outpost, there are things to do, like you can eat, you can shop, you can meet characters, have snacks, you ride rides, and there are like little shows that happen along the way. So, we're walking in with this mass of people, and Elena tells me, oh, we're going to want to go to the cantina first, because that's the most, from her experience or from her research, because she hadn't been there either. The cantina, which is the first place inside Disneyland that sells alcohol to the public. So this is another bit of information. So Disney's California Adventure, the other theme park across the way, has bars and sells alcohol pretty much all over the park. But in Disneyland, because it was Walt Disney's insistence from the beginning, there have never been alcohol sales inside Disneyland until now. So the cantina called Oga's Cantina sells alcohol, and because of this ability, it is one of the most, if not the most, wanted and visited attraction inside Galaxy's Edge so far. So she says, let's go straight to the cantina. Let's get in line. Let's do that first. Because if we don't do it first, we're not going to get to do it, which I'm like, great. So we head over with the mass of people, and there are a lot of people in line in front of us already to get in line for the cantina. So we get to Oga's Cantina, and the line is very, very long. And we're thinking, you know what, even if we wait, you know, 45 minutes, it's worth it because it's our first visit. Let's do everything. There's still, you know, the whole entire time you're in there is 4 hours, so you have time to do other stuff. So we got in line, and while we were in line, we got some blue milk, which is one of the Star Wars drinks that you can get in the land. And they have blue milk and they have green milk, which are drinks that are featured in the Star Wars movies. They're non-alcoholic, so anyone can have them, and they are both delicious. I tried them both. The blue milk is my favorite. I think I like that one better than the green milk, but they're both very, very good. It's a cold, kind of creamy, milkshakey kind of drink. The texture in your mouth is a little yogurty, but not in an unpalatable way. Like, it's really tasty. I actually crave it now. So having gone twice, like my second time, I was like, I have to get more blue milk because it tastes really, really good. And it costs $8. So that's what you're going to pay for blue or green milk inside Galaxy's Edge. So while we were waiting in line, Edgar and I went to get the milk while Elena waited for us in line. And after about 20 minutes, we were told by the cast members that all of the reservations for the full 4 hour time that we would be there have been secured for the cantina, and we would not be able to visit this trip, which immediately bummed me out because I was like, damn, like I really wanted to do everything. And it was my understanding that the 4 hours would be enough time for everyone to do everything that is available in the park. So that's not entirely true. Yes, you can do everything you want to do in the park if you plan accordingly. And we didn't because we didn't know. So we were a little bummed, and that kind of soured my visit, but not really, because I knew I'd be coming back, and I'm like, all right, I missed it this time. I'm going to do it next time. I'll figure it out. So moving forward beyond that, we were in exploration mode. So we had already tried the blue milk, and we decided to check out all of the little shops to see what was available. And there are toys, there are clothes, there are prop replicas, there's lots of stuff to buy. So it in that respect, it's fun. We walked into the part, the back of the area. So for my purposes, I'm going to say the front of the area is where the Millennium Falcon ride is, and the back of the area is where the First Order TIE Fighter is parked. And that where the TIE Fighter is parked, there's like a little stage. And we saw this little show where there were stormtroopers walking around from high above, on the ground, all over. And on the stage, Kylo Ren and one of his, you know, underlings were yelling at each other about looking for resistance spies and all of that. So it's the kind of sort of show that you see at Disneyland or Disney World. Kind of cool. And then the characters walk around amongst the visitors, and they ask you, you know, like, are you part of the resistance? And you play along with them, and that was kind of fun. So while we did a bit of our shopping and looking around, we noticed that because it had already been, like, let's say an hour into our visit, we noticed that the wait time to ride the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run ride was only like 20 minutes long. Now, as soon as you get into the park and this mob of people go in, a whole bunch of people go straight for the ride, a whole bunch of people go straight for the cantina, and a whole bunch of people go straight for the lightsaber building experience, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So, once in the early part of your visit, the wait time for the ride can be like 45 minutes to an hour, because a lot of people just run straight for the ride and they get in line. And that's fine, but my advice is, you don't have to ride the ride immediately as soon as you get in, because over the 4 hours, you will have the chance to ride it at least twice, maybe three times if you really want to, maybe four times. Because after the first rush of people get in line and ride the ride, they do other things, and the wait times get way much smaller and more manageable. So we got in line to ride the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, and our wait time was only about 20 minutes. So while you're waiting in line, you're kind of like meandering through like parts of the ship or parts of the bay where the ship is parked. And it's kind of cool because it's part of the experience that you're like in this immersive experience. And so waiting in line isn't too bad. Half the time you're inside and it's air conditioned, and that is fantastic. So we get to ride the ride, and each ride only accommodates 6 people. So if you're by yourself or you're with like 2 or 3 people, you're going to ride with other people. And on each ride, there are 2 pilots, 2 gunners, and 2 engineers. And it's not really random which you get assigned. The first person in the group, the first 2 people in the group get the pilot duty. The second 2 people get the gunner duty, and the last 2 get the engineer duty. So for the first ride, these stranger people got the pilot jobs, and then one of us was a gunner. Edgar and I were gunners, and then Elena was an engineer. And the ride is really, really fun. And it doesn't really change. So it's not like one of those, it's not like one of those rides that changes randomly, you know, depending on how many times you ride it, like Star Tours. Like, it's pretty much the same, even though there are different people doing different things, different times. So if you're the pilot, you're driving the ship. If you're the gunner, you're shooting at the enemies. And if you're the engineer, you're fixing all of the things that go wrong with the ship, and you're shooting the harpoon. And so I'm not going to talk about what the ride entails. Like, you have to ride it yourself, because it's pretty awesome. But there are videos online if you really want to see it and be spoiled. But my advice is, if you're going to ride the ride, wait till you ride the ride to experience it. But if you want to be the pilot, The best thing I can recommend is have at least 3 or 4 people in your party, and then you guys will be like the first in the party, and you will get the best roles assigned, and then you can decide who's going to do what. If you're just 1 or 2 people, chances are the other group is going to get the better jobs first, so they'll be the pilots and you'll be in the back. But it's fun doing all of the experiences, because I've done all 3 of the experiences, and it's really, really fun. But you kind of really want to be the pilot, because that's the most fun. And my advice is, if you're the pilot, the controls are very sensitive. Like, my first time piloting, I kind of jerked back and forth, like, a lot. Like, I was like, ah, like, I was super excited. And that caused me to crash a lot. It takes finesse. The Millennium Falcon takes finesse to fly it. So just, like, you know, you don't have to, like, jam the controls. Just, like, use finesse and you will fly it expertly, and it's really, really fun. So, I love the ride. It is a very, very fun ride. So after that, we ate, we got these meat wraps that were really, really tasty, and we got soda, we got pop from the Coke stand, and the Coke bottles, which they sell Coke, Sprite, and Aquafina water, they come in special packaging, so they don't look like regular bottles. The Coke and the Sprite look like little hand grenades, to be honest. They're like little round bottles. And all the writing on the packaging is in Arabesh, which is Star Wars language, so it looks like alien language. So those, that's pretty fun. And then we got some of the fun popcorn and some of the other drinks that are non-alcoholic. So the snacks are really, really great. I have yet to try a full meal inside Galaxy's Edge because every time I've gone, I've been too excited about doing other things. But there are meal options. There's a little area where you can get it like a meal, like a salad and that kind of thing. And there are tables where you can sit down communally with other people and eat. So those are the food options available and opportunities. Like, I can't list all the things that are available because there are a lot of things that are available. But in my experience, the stuff that I had was really, really good and tasty. So that was my first visit. The last thing I'll say about my first visit is that when you are in Galaxy's Edge, it really does feel like you are in a completely different place. It does not feel like you're in Disneyland. They want you to feel like you're on a foreign planet. Well, it doesn't necessarily feel like that either. You definitely know, obviously, you're at a theme park because it's fun, and they make the theme park experience very obvious. But it does not feel like you're in Disneyland. You can't see any of the other park. You can't see the castle. You can't see any of the rides. It's a completely immersive experience environmentally. So that's really, really fun. The characters walking around, there's no guarantee you're going to see characters, because the first time I went, there were a lot of characters. I saw Kylo Ren, I saw a lot of stormtroopers, and other First Order characters. But the second time I went, I didn't see anybody. There were no stormtroopers walking around, there was no show, no Kylo Ren yelling at people. So that was a little bit weird the second time. But Chewbacca was walking around and taking pictures, and I got a picture with Chewbacca the second time. So with characters, you never really know what you're going to get, so keep that in mind. So after my first experience, I was mostly happy. I was a little bummed I didn't go to the cantina, but I knew better for the second time. So the second time, after I got all checked in, the second time I was able to go with Griffin and his friend Jeremy, because the second time I went, it was Griffin's reservation, and he put me on his reservation. So Griffin checked in. Jeremy and I went with him, and they didn't check our IDs. They just gave us our bracelets because we were with him, and we got to go in. So the second time, I made sure that I was in line. I made Griffin and Jeremy go ride rides. You know, they rode Haunted Mansion and other rides. It was their first time, by the way, and I can't even get into all of that because that's just too much to talk about. But because the first time at Disneyland is always so special, and it's one of my favorite things to go with people on their first time. So I didn't realize it was their first time until we were on our way there, and they're like, neither one of us had been there ever. And I'm like, oh my God, what? I wish I'd known. I would have planned better for us to do other things, but that's beside the point. So I made them ride rides and experience Disneyland while I got in line super early to get in for our reservation time. So the last time I got in line, we got in line like maybe 20 minutes before our appointed time. This time I got in line an hour ahead of time. And when I say line, I use the term loosely because there aren't lines when you're checking in for your reservation. There's kind of like just a mob of people. So I knew that I wanted to be amongst the first people let in past the check-in area, because there's a lot of people to check in, and they check in the first people about 40 minutes before the appointed time. So around 40 minutes ahead of time, I got scanned in and made my way halfway down to the part where they finally do let you in. And I decided to wait there near the very front for the rest of the 40 minutes to make sure that I was able to make a beeline and book it to the cantina to get my reservation. So at the appointed time, they count down 10, 9, 8, and they explain to you that there's a cast member who will be escorting people to the cantina. If you run past that cast member, you will not be allowed to get your reservation. So, in an orderly way, you have to follow this cast member with this mob of people to make your way to the cantina to make your reservation. So that's how you get your reservation to the cantina. You have to get to the check-in early, I would say 40 minutes to an hour early, scan your bracelet, and then wait near the front of the entrance. And then at that point, you follow the cast member, and they make it very clear who it is. They have a stick and everything, a big staff that you follow. And you follow them to the cantina line. And at that point, it took me maybe 5 to 10 minutes to wait to make my reservation. Made my reservation. You give them your name. You give them your cell phone number. And then they text you when you come back. So about 45 minutes later to an hour later, our reservation was ready. So after I got my reservation, I met up with Griffin and Jeremy, who finally made their way into the park, and they were like totally taking it all in. And I was like, take it all in, because it was their first time. So they got their Cokes, they got their drinks. We got our blue milk. We rode the Millennium Falcon. And then we made sure that we were the first of our group. So Jeremy and Griffin were pilots first. Then I was a gunner. I was an engineer because I was a gunner last time. And then we went again, and I was a pilot this time. So that's how we were able to experience. And then everything else was pretty much standard for the two of them on their first trip, my second trip. So after about an hour, I got a text message that was like, it's time for your reservation. Come get back in line. So we went back in line. That's another like 10 minute wait. And then we finally got to go into the cantina. And for sure, the cantina is my favorite experience inside Galaxy's Edge. The cantina really looks like a bar from the Star Wars movies. There are alien creatures and all of the drinks are lit up with, you know, they're different colors and they're lit up. There are lots of alcoholic options. They're not cheap. The cheapest thing is like beer, and I think it's like $8 or something. And they have non-alcoholic as well. But the drinks are fun. They're tasty. I had two of them. The fuzzy Tauntaun was the first one I had, and it made my lips numb, and it was great. I believe Jeremy had the Jedi Mind Trick, and Griffin got the Yub Nub, which is the Ewok tiki drink that comes in a collectible cup. Like, you get to take home the glass cup, but his drink was $40. So you're paying a lot for that cup and the drink. There's a DJ. I believe the DJ's name is DJ RX. So DJ Rex. And it's a droid, and it's voiced by Paul Rubens, who is Pee Wee Herman, and it's fun. He plays music, and he talks, and he makes movement. It's fun. It's a fun little experience. So the cantina, really, really fun. They have snacks, and basically you're paying for, like, Chex Mix and, like, wasabi peas, but, you know, they present them in a neat little way, in a neat little dish with other flavors, and they make them look alien, and, so the whole experience inside the cantina is really, really fun. So I'm so glad I finally got to do the cantina. So that is what I have experienced thus far. Now, there are two things that I left off. First, there is a ride. There's a second ride inside Galaxy's Edge that is not open yet. So no matter when you go, the second ride is not open. I believe it's called the Resistance or Join the Resistance or something like that. So that ride is not open yet. It will open later this year. And I think it's genius for Disney to have one ride open and one ride not open, because after a few months, after people stop talking about Galaxy's Edge, which they probably won't because everybody loves Star Wars to death, but once the hype dies down, they will announce, oh, the second ride is open, and then people are going to want to go back in earnest, because for sure, I'm going to have to go back when that second ride opens. So that, first, did not experience. Second thing, Savvy's Workshop is the place where you can build your own lightsaber. That experience is kind of like the wand-picking experience at the Harry Potter Land at Universal, where it's individual to you. You pick your hilts, your lightsaber hilt, you pick your kyber crystal, which lights it, which makes it light up, you pick it, which is the color of your lightsaber, and you assemble it, and Savi teaches you how to build your lightsaber, and it's a whole experience. It costs $200 to do this. So you're paying for the lightsaber, and you're paying for the experience. It is a 15-minute experience, and only 10 people at a time can do it. So you can see how it could be difficult if you don't get in line to get your reservation to make your lightsaber, plus it's expensive. So I can't speak about that experience. I've heard it's very cool, but I don't want to spend $200 for a lightsaber that I already have, so I can't speak to that. If that's something you want to do, my guess is the best bet is to go straight to get your cantina reservation, like I explained, then get your lightsaber reservation, if still available, and then enjoy the rest of the park. So there you have it. That is the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge experience. I loved it entirely. The first time I was a little bummed because I didn't get to do everything I wanted to do. The second time was a complete joy because I got to do the cantina and ride the ride twice and get all my snacks and see all the things I wanted to see, including some characters. So even though I didn't see as many characters the second time as I did the first time, it was worth it. I will also say, when I went the first time, it was in the day, so there were no fireworks or anything like that. But the second time I went was at night. The second reservation was from 8 to midnight, and the fireworks in the rest of the park, you can see the fireworks inside Galaxy's Edge. So that made the whole experience more fun as well. So, you know, it's fun to go. I would recommend going both in the day and at night, but if I had to pick, I'd probably go at night because with the lights and the fireworks, it seems much more otherworldly. So that's it. That's it. Galaxy's Edge is really fun. The way it stands now, there's lots to do. There's more to come. So as the months progress, there will be more rides. I'm sure there's going to be more shows. There's lots of room for expansion, for them to do other things, for them to do like parades in there or specific, you know, I don't know, shows devoted just to that area, or they can bring specific characters who are unique to that land. So there's lots of room for growth. Beyond June 24th. So if you don't have a reservation already, you're not going to get one because they're all gone. But after June 24th, the land is no longer reservation only, to a point. Disney has announced this week how they're going to handle people wanting to go to Galaxy's Edge after the reservation system ends. So the way I understand it, and I'm not entirely sure, so please forgive me, the way I understand it, there still will be a reservation way to get in, and I'm guessing there will also be like a typical line to wait in. But if you don't want to wait in line and you still want to go to Galaxy's Edge, what you're supposed to do is you need to download the Disneyland app, so the official Disneyland app on your phone, and on the day that you're at Disney, once you're inside the park, I believe there's an opportunity for you to request a time to visit Galaxy's Edge. And they will tell you either immediately or soon after you are reserved for the 1 o'clock time or the 2 o'clock time or the 3 o'clock time or whatever, however they break it up the day. And there's no guarantee you're going to get it, but if you put yourself on the list, you might get your chance to visit. So there's a chance that you go to Disney intending to visit Galaxy's Edge and you won't be able to. But I suppose there's also a chance that you go to Disney not really intending to visit Galaxy's Edge, you put your name on the list, and you get to go. So that's kind of the way it's going to be. We'll see. It hasn't happened yet, so I'm not sure how it's going to play itself out, but I believe that's how people are going to be able to visit Galaxy's Edge after the first reservation system ends on June 24th. So I will for sure be going to Disney after the 24th, and I will test it out, and I will maybe update down the line to let you know how it works. Or if you have any questions, please message me on social media at Trent Venegas on all socials, or at Pink is the New Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, or at Pink is the New Pod on Twitter. Okay, so the last thing I want to say is I've gone twice, and it looks like I'm going to get to go one more time. So my friend Elena, who I brought on my reservation, she was able to add me to her reservation this Saturday, the 22nd. So when it's her reservation time, I'm going to get to go with her, and I'm going to get to go for a third time. So we're planning to go to do the cantina again, so we're going to get there early and do the whole thing to get the reservation early, because I want to have drinks with her in the cantina, and then we'll probably ride Millennium Falcon, and my guess is we won't spend our entire 4 hours in the land, because there's a lot to do, but if you use your time wisely, you could do everything. And then you're like, okay, I've done it all. Let's go do some other stuff in the rest of the amazing Disneyland or California Adventure parks. That's a good point to make. After my first visit, we left maybe like 20 minutes early. We were only there for, 3 hours and 40 minutes. And then we're like, okay, we did everything. We can't do the cantina. Let's go ride other rides. And then with Griffin and Jeremy, the second time, we did everything we wanted to do, including the cantina, and we rode the Millennium Falcon twice and ate everything we wanted to eat, and we left the park an hour early? No, I think it was like 30 minutes early, 30 or 40 minutes early, not quite an hour, because it was their first time to Disneyland, and I'm like, oh my God, let's go ride Indiana Jones, let's go ride Pirates of the Caribbean. So we had other things we wanted to do before the park closed. So yeah, 4 hours is plenty of time to do everything that you want to do inside Galaxy's Edge. If you want to do the cantina, get there early, get your reservation as early as you can, and enjoy it. Have fun. I love Disney so much, as I'm sure you're well aware. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And hit me up on the socials. Let's talk about what we love or we don't love about Galaxy's Edge. So yeah, so that's it for this bonus episode of Pink is a New Podcast. Feel free to hit me up if you have any questions. Send me your photos. All that kind of stuff. So yeah, may the force be with you, and maybe I'll see you guys at Disneyland, Disney's California Adventure, or inside Galaxy's Edge. All right, have a great day. I will see you guys next week. Later.